And so it's that idea of seeing and looking and having our eyes open that we begin to see God reveal himself. And this is the important context of miracles, is that it's the revelation of God around us.
We pray for blessings. We pray for peace. We pray for healing, for prosperity. We pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering.
Does not getting a miracle mean that we don't believe enough?
No, I think if you know our personal faith, it's the ability to discern the miracle that is given to us. It's the ability for our will to become in harmony and in synergy with the will of God.
Welcome to another edition of Come Receive the Light from the Orthodox Christian Network. I'm Mike Trout, and our host is Father Christopher Metropoulos. Our focus today is on miracles, and I love those thoughts from Father Tonius. I lifted them from a longer conversation that he and Father Chris had, which I'll share in just a few minutes. A miracle is the revelation of God around us. For you, is a miracle supernatural or just natural? Well, I believe for one who follows Christ and walks very closely with the Lord, I think it's a whole lot more natural than we realize. You'll understand that, I think, a little bit better as you listen to the conversation coming up in just a few moments. But first, I want to take a look backward and return to a series of interviews, just briefly, that we've had over the past several weeks about what it means to be a Christian, a follower of Christ. Father Chris wants to put a ribbon on all that we shared and listened to.
My dear friends, this past month's programming, when we spoke with leaders from other Christian denominations about their core beliefs, was a wonderful journey to take during Great Lent. When we hear what others believe, it challenges us to look at our own faith. So many of us have mastered the Sunday school answers to questions about the Bible and its teaching. But when was the last time we actually sat down to really think about our relationship of our faith to our everyday life? When we hear others give answers to the questions like, what does it mean to be a Christian? Hopefully, we'll take a moment to answer that question ourselves. But there's an even better reason to take a look at other Christian churches' beliefs during this Great Lenten season. You know, Orthodox Christians make up only a tiny minority of the American population. Even though we claim to be the one true Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, how can we engage in conversations with those around us if we don't know anything about what they believe? How can we effectively reach out to others if we don't even know where to start the conversation? Lent is a time for going deeper into our own Orthodox faith, but not by hiding out from the rest of the world. Thanks for listening.
It really was a very informative series of programs about what other Christian denominations believe about following Christ. And if you'd like to hear those thoughts, if you missed any of them, or listen to them again, just click on the Listen button on the homepage at myocn.net. That's myocn.net, and select Come Receive the Light.
And we see this in Christ as well, in Gethsemane, who manifests that in his humanity, where he says, you know, let this cup pass from me. But then that's the humanity, but the divinity says, nevertheless, let thy will be done. And so that's where we need to be in order to perceive what is the true miracle that is being done. Because God is doing wonders around us all the time. Whether we see him or not, well, that's a different question.
Father Demetrius Tonius is Dean of the Annunciation Cathedral of Boston and returns to Come Receive the Light to help Father Chris sort through the subject of miracles.
Welcome, Father Demetrius.
Good to be here. Thank you, Father.
Let's start off by asking, why does God perform miracles to begin with?
Well, I mean, we have to be careful that we don't turn miracles into some type of celestial light show, mm-hmm. you know, where it's God showing off, so to speak. And we have to always keep in mind as well that all of creation is a miracle of God. And so, you know, the Greek word, I think, thaumata, does a better job than the English word miracle. And if, you know, you could translate it, you know, more appropriately, as we do in many of the services, many of the translations, as wonders. Mm. So the wonders of God, the amazing acts of God. Any parent will tell you that the birth of their child is one of the most awesome and amazing events in the world. And if that's not a miracle, what is? But when we use the term miracle, we often have the connotation that it implies, you know, a miraculous work that's done, a wonder of God that's done for our benefit, mm-hmm. for our health, for our well-being, where people are wishing for, you know, almost like the granting of a wish, to put right. it in those terms. And I think that's an improper understanding of what tzavmata, of what miracles actually are. As part of God's revelation, part of God's grace, his free gift to all of humanity, and part of God constantly showing himself in sometimes the most imperceptible ways or the perceptible ways that we do not perceive.
But what does that say, Father, about the times when God doesn't perform those miracles? Because many of us can think of a time when we've asked for a miracle and just didn't happen.
Well, you know, the miracle, again, is, you know, the Father speak, and we use this Greek word, this great Greek word, diakrisis, discernment, that, you know, we can break this down into the not granting of miracles into different, you know, categories. First of all, when we say when God doesn't do a miracle, what are we saying? Basically, what we're saying then is God is not granting our desires, our wishes. And, you know, we have to be careful that we're not substituting our will for God's will. We're not saying that what we desire is preeminent. That's one thing. The other thing in granting miracles and not granting miracles is sometimes the miracle is granted and we just don't perceive it. And it is because of our own weakness, because of our stubbornness, because of our hardness of heart, we don't see the miracle that's right in front of our faces. Certainly, this is the witness of the New Testament, in which you had Pharisees who condemned Christ as a false prophet, as a false Messiah. Then you had Pharisees like Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus, who accepted Christ and recognized that he was indeed the Messiah. Now, the reality was the same for both. Both were hoping for a Messiah. For one, in their perception, their wish, their desire, their miracle they were looking for wasn't granted because they couldn't get out of their own way to understand what the miracle of God really was. Because for them, who was the Messiah? The Messiah was someone who was going to be of the Davidic line, but who was a king who was going to drive the Romans out and establish the Davidic kingdom in Israel. And so it was their perception of what they were looking for that blinded them to the reality of what the miracle actually was. You know, I think the Jesus of Nazareth portrayal that's done, the cinematic portrayal at the crucifixion, does a very good job of this. Laurence Olivier plays Nicodemus, and he's looking up at Christ on the cross there, and he starts reciting Isaiah, like a lamb that's led to slaughter, and like a sheep that before his shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. And you can almost see the light bulb go off over his head. So for him, he perceived the reality of God's greatest miracle, that the Word had taken flesh, had dwelt amongst us, had been sacrificed, and was going to destroy death by death, and he could understand it because he was pious and humble enough to see that miracle in front of him. So the first problem then is saying, you know, is the miracle not granted? Really, it's our own weakness and wanting to fulfill our own desires that's part of the problem. And we see this in Christ as well, in Gethsemane, who manifests that in his humanity, where he says, you know, let this cup pass from me. But then that's the humanity, but the divinity says, nevertheless, let thy will be done. And so that's where we need to be in order to perceive what is the true miracle that is being done. Because God is doing wonders around us all the time. Whether we see him or not, well, that's a different question.
Well, you bring up a number of points. The trusting in God.
Mm-hmm.
We bring up here that for blessings both seen and unseen that have been bestowed upon us. Because if we pray for something and God doesn't give it to us, there may be a very good reason why that's happening. But we have to trust, correct?
Exactly.
That's
exactly.
The other side of it. Okay.
And when we speak of, you know, in this case, we talk of trust, another good word is pistis, mm-hmm. is faith, to have that faith in God. Because what we're getting down to with this idea of granting miracles, where we turn God in kind of like the celestial bellhop,
mm-hmm.
you know, as I say, we pull the cord and ding dong, you know, God, my business is failing, come help me. You know, ding dong, you know, God, I need to pass this test, come help me. Ding dong, even, you know, someone is sick, my child is sick, my loved one is sick, come save them. And so what we're turning God into really is our slave, rather than recognizing that we are the servants of God, but that we are made in his image and likeness. But that doesn't mean that our will replaces his will. And this is the sin of Adam. Sometimes in our attitudes and our desire for the fulfillment of miracles. We say we want a miracle. Really, if we're honest with ourselves, we're saying we want a wish granted, right? And that's a different thing than a miracle. And what we're doing then, rather, is becoming like Adam. We want to make ourselves God. We just want God to take care of the dirty work for us.
Right. Well, I mean, I'm aware you far more intelligent in these matters than I am.
No, hardly in
dealing with the granting of miracles. But I remember in my scriptural reading that Christ would say to those whom he heals, your faith has made you well.
Yeah.
So he puts the faith back in the person, not necessarily that he is granting that miracle.
Yeah.
Am I right or am I wrong?
Yeah, but what is the miracle and what is being made well?
Mm-hmm.
And what is the faith towards? You know, it's a beautiful thing when we have the paraklesis services, when we, at every Eucharist, every Divine Liturgy, people come and they submit names. Of course, Iper Anapafsios, for those who have fallen asleep, but we also have the names for the health of, Iper Igias. And everyone, I mean, that rolls off of everyone's tongues very quickly, Iper Igias. But that's not the end of it. We say, Iper Igias ke sotirias, for the health and salvation. And, you know, when you want to answer questions as an Orthodox Christian, this is very important. I always tell people that, yes, you look to the scriptural text in the original language, because there's a very important distinction to be made. But the Orthodox faith encompasses much more than that, because it's the Orthodox faith that gave that canon of Scripture and codified that canon of Scripture. So if we want to answer a question, what do we see in the icons? What do we see in the writings of the fathers? What do we see in the canons? What do we see liturgically? And it's the liturgical point that I want to point to, because we know when we do a wedding, we have the bride and the groom there. It's a happy occasion. The attendants that are there to share in the bridal joy. And we have a petition. And that petition is not just confined to the wedding service. You find it popping up in other different sacramental acts. Grant everything that they ask. Miracles, right? Everything they ask that affects their salvation, that avails for their salvation. That qualifier is
really, really
important.
Well, that qualifier really is the important one, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So it depends. You know, it remains to be seen whether that Mercedes-Benz or that Lexus avails for our salvation.
Okay, that's a good point. Well, is there any link between then the person? I want to sort of drill down a little more on what we were talking about before. I mean, is there any link between the personal faith and God granting miracles? In other words, does not getting a miracle mean that we don't believe enough?
No, I think, our personal faith, and I think for the witness of the saints, it's the ability to discern the miracle that is given to us, right? It's the ability for our will to become in harmony and in synergy with the will of God. And so I think that's where faith plays into it, where if I believe and I'm a really good person and I do all these wonderful things, then, I'm going to win the lottery. This is not our theology. I don't think this is even the most fundamental sense, any part of any reasonable Christian theology in the broader context, that I don't think there's a relationship between effecting miracles in the sense of getting things that we want and having great faith. I think the people of faith, now we do have the witness of saints. We do have the witness of holy men and women who throughout the ages, and we know this scripturally, that heal, but the distinction is very clear that they're not healing, that it's the action of Christ through them, that through the prayers of the faithful, that the health and the well-being of the people is granted unto their salvation, right? And so that it's that in this faith that we complete the course of our life as athletes, as St. Paul says, and as the fathers also said, adopting this very, classical Greek Stoic type of language, that we're athletes fighting a fight, but we're fighting the fight to win our salvation. And so that's the ultimate thing. Now, when we say en pisti, in faith, we also know liturgically, right, that we pay for those who have departed. We do this after the consecration of the gifts, and we say all those who have completed this life in faith. And so that the ultimate reward, the ultimate miracle that we're always striving for and searching for is our salvation, to be at the right hand of God. And so as long as we're striving for that, then everything else is related to that. So our health and well-being is only efficacious and meaningful in as much as it affects our salvation, right? So everything is pointing to that. And so the saints who have witnessed to this have done that and helped affect not only their salvation, but those of everyone around them.
Father, when we read scriptures and the lives of the saints, it's easy to feel like God used to perform more miracles then than he does today. Do you think that's true?
No. I would say, well, first of all, I have no basis for quantifying.
Mm-hmm.
I would say if you talk to any priest, if you asked me before, you know, I used to be an engineer in my previous life, had I ever seen a miracle? The answer would be categorically no. Mm-hmm. I'd never seen one. I remember having a conversation with a friend of mine, a business colleague from before, and this was after I was ordained. I was a deacon at this stage. And he says, you want to know why I don't believe in any of these miracles? Because I've never seen one.
Right.
Well, you know, if there are 10 people in your room and you have your back to them and they're all being very quiet, you have no idea that they're there until you turn around and look. And so it's that idea of seeing and looking and having our eyes open that we begin to see God reveal himself. And this is the important thing, context of miracles, is that it's the revelation of God around us. And, of course, you know, we use the expression seeing with spiritual eyes. Now, I'd like to say that, you know, before I was ordained and in ministry, I had blinders on, and now my eyes are wide open.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe I have, you know, like a quarter inch of a sliver I can look through now, you know, and that's about it. But there are a variety of miracles. I'm sure every priest, I mean, you talk to any priest, you sit us around a table, puts some, you know, coffee and some kulereike in front of us, and you say, you know, what are your miracle stories? They can all cart out a few of them.
That's absolutely, absolutely. And not everyone sees those miracles.
Certainly, certainly. And again, let's go back to the Pharisees. God was standing right in front of them, the fulfillment of the prophecies, the fulfillment of all their wishes, their hopes, and their desires. What they came into the temple, you know, at three times a year at the minimum, but almost certainly more than that, to pray for and hope for, and what was their aspirations for all of Israel was right in front of them. And that, you know, they just, many of them just watched them walk right by.
And many of the miracles, I think you can agree with me here, Father Demetrius, that some of the miracles are not quantified in those celestial happenings that you mentioned at the beginning. It could be a homeless man or woman who survives the night sleeping outside and is not robbed or killed. It could be the single mother who every day is getting up and trying to raise her children, takes them to school, then goes to work, comes back, picks them up, goes and takes a second job, and yet she's still on her feet doing her work. So there are many forms of miracles, are there not?
There are. I mean, there's a great story I like to tell. It's a joke. I mean, it's a cliche, and many of the listeners probably know it, but I'll say it again anyways. There's an old man, very faithful man, much faith in God, and the floods are coming. And so the flood water's around his knees, you know, and a little, you know, canoe comes by and says, old man, get in the boat. The flood water's are coming. He says, no, the Lord will save me. I believe in miracles. And so, you know, the flood waters get a little hard around his chest. Now a motorboat comes by. He says, oh, man, get in the boat. The flood waters are coming. He says, no, the Lord will save me. Believes in miracles. He gets on the roof of his house. Bigger boat comes by with some, you know, refugees in it. Oh, man, get in the boat. The flood waters are coming. No, the Lord will save me. Now the water's up to his neck. He's standing on his tiptoes on the roof of his house. A helicopter comes by. They put the rope down. They say, oh, man, grab the rope. The flood waters are coming. He says, no, the Lord will save me. So he drowns and he dies. And he goes up to heaven. He says, Lord, Lord, why did you forsake me? What happened? And the Lord says, I have no idea what happened. I sent one boat. I sent two boats. I sent three boats. I sent a helicopter. You know? So it's a funny joke, but there's great truth.
Open the ears, right?
In that. Open your eyes. Open your ears. And look what's been given to all of us around here. And we see it. There are so many stories that do it. Look, It's a Wonderful Life. It's a great, great parable for that type of understanding, to know the miracles that are given. I think the biggest question is opening our eyes to see the thavmata, to see the miracles, the wonders of God that are all around us in every instance. And hopefully, you know, what our prayer allows us to do more than anything else, more than like a quid pro quo, I pray hard, I get this. I would end with this. I would say this. Our prayers allow us to see what is around us, to have that type of spiritual eyes, to see the wonders that are constantly around us. And the more we pray, the more we come into communion, the more that veil, and that's what that word revelation means, apocalypsis, right? That unveiling, that uncovering, the more that veil is lifted up for us to see the wonders of God that are manifest and manifold around us at every instant.
Thank you, Father Demetrius. We always appreciate your time with us.
Thank you so much, Father.
I love that perspective of God always working in and around us. Are we sensitive enough, close enough to Him, to see the miracles which He's working in our life and the lives of others? Ponder that question. Our guest was Father Demetrius Tonias, the Dean of the Annunciation Cathedral of Boston and a great friend of this ministry. You're listening to Come Receive the Light, one of many ministries under the umbrella of the Orthodox Christian Network, a nonprofit outreach dependent upon your prayer support and your financial support. You can reach us on the web at myocn.net and give safely when you're there. Well, I have one more brief conversation I want to share with you today. Perhaps some of you recall the interview Father Chris had with Norris Chumley about his film project called The Jesus Prayer. That was a while back. Well, Father Chris caught him on the phone again and asked him this question, which I believe puts a very nice coda, a finish, an ending, on our look into the subject of miracles.
Do you have any thoughts you'd like to share with us about the miracles of Christ's resurrection as we continue our Lenten journey?
Well, I think you said it right there, Father Chris. The cross, the miracle, is of Christ's resurrection. That's it. In the miracle of Christ's resurrection, we have everything in life not only explained, but the dilemma of life, of existence, is worked out for us. The problems of our existence, our unworthiness, the reality of our sins and errors in spite of all good intentions are solved by Christ's ultimate sacrifice, his gift. The resurrection from death to immortal life is indeed defiant of physical laws, an impossibility even. Yet with the cross and Jesus' ultimate sacrifice on our behalf, it is a miracle. Not only a miracle, the resurrection is the miracle of all time, infinite, indescribable. I look at the miraculous story of Jesus Christ, how not only was he the Holy Spirit, but he was the human Son of God, come to earth to teach us the way to God, but suffered and was totally human, but then totally castigated and condemned by people just for the simple act of teaching us to love God and our neighbors. How could this beautiful person of complete love be so brutally, horribly crucified? It just defies logic. But it's through his resurrection that we're all saved from our inevitable fallen fate of earthliness. We're completely cleansed, purified of our sins and errors and ego and pride and foolish materialism. We are healed of hatred, you name it. We are saved. We are healed. His boundless gifts of total freedom and everlasting life by giving his life for us, and then the miracle of resurrection and everlasting life. Gosh, this is the good news. We are saved from ourselves. I think of Romans 6. We are therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. The resurrection is a miracle. Not just God's Son, Jesus Christ, it is us who are resurrected and completely forgiven. We have been allowed and enabled to live. 1 Corinthians says, by his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Jesus himself taught, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. Jesus, our Lord, has defied death. He's given us life, eternal life. There is no greater miracle. Jesus Christ intercedes for us, constantly pleading to God the Father on our behalf. This is beyond words miraculous. Not only was our Lord's resurrection foretold in Scripture, Jesus Christ is the embodiment, is the Messiah, is the holy presence of God in human form, here to give us complete love, peace, forgiveness, and yes, miracles.
Thank you for spending an important part of your day with us here at the Orthodox Christian Network as we have worked through another weekly edition of Come Receive the Light. We're on the web at myocn.net. We're also on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Google+, and Pinterest.
You can find us everywhere and share us with your friends. We count on you as the most important promotional tool we have. Special thanks to our managing director, Eleni Alexiou, our recording engineer, Ron Spiegel, and our Digital Disciple student team member, Ambrin Pasha. Without them, we just couldn't make it through another half-hour broadcast. I'm Mike Trout. Our host is Father Christopher Metropoulos, and we'd love to have you come along next week when we'll be back. In the meantime, remember to always have faith in what you listen to.